Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
We welcome you back, everybody. It is another episode of Inside Boxing Live. It is Dan Canobio. It is Chris Algieri, and we are presented by PPV.com. It is a busy PPV.com summer. We got a fight week. Deontay Wilder returns to the ring this Friday night, June 27th, versus Terrell Herndon. It is streaming on PPV.com. I will be in the live interactive chat. Caught up with Deontay last week in a wide-ranging interview. He wants to get back into the WinCom. He wants to get one of the bigger names. It should be an interesting night on Friday. Then, of course, in July, we have Manny Pacquiao returning to the ring against Mario Barrios. And then what I think is a fight between Tank Davis and Lamont Roach. Lamont Roach was at Fanatics Fest this past weekend. I was there as well. Didn't run into him, but he has not said the fight is official, but he says everything is looking towards August 16th. All three of those fights will be streaming live on PPV.com. Chris, can you hear my air conditioner blasting? Because we're in a heat wave here in New York. I don't know if you know that. 101 degrees today, baby.
I can't hear it, but I can see you have a little bit of a light glisten on your face. You got the guns out because it's sun's out, guns out. Yeah, man, it is not 101 degrees here in South Florida. How about that? You guys got us beat.
I know we talk weather sometimes in this podcast because we're getting older. Next thing, We're going to be bird watching.
Well, you're middle-aged now, so you have joined the middle-aged club, just like me, and now we can discuss weather patterns and birds.
I did have a birthday.
We're gonna be bird watching soon. That's what we're gonna do on our PBV trips. We're gonna do side quests and go bird watching.
Yeah, we used to go to Hakkasan. We used to get tables at Encore Beach Club. Are there any birds in Vegas? I feel like there's zero wildlife out there.
Is that a wild pecking snuggle butt?
Meth head? No, that's a meth head.
That would be Vegas, yes.
I had a birthday this weekend. That was nice. Watched a little boxing. Headed to Fanatics Fest on yesterday for that Canelo Crawford presser, which was pretty much the biggest story in boxing today. But yeah, it's fucking hot here in New York City. Those who had never been to New York City, it's only really nice here 2 months of the year, maybe May and maybe October.
Yeah, late September, October, April's really rainy. May, beginning of June, and then you just enter towards mid late June, it just becomes sweltering.
Bro, it's 101 that is, in this metropolis. No. Get me out of here. Heading to California on Wednesday. Looking 80 and sunny in Anaheim. Never been to Anaheim. I've heard some interesting things. I've heard it's not so great. I also heard it's the happiest place in the world because Disneyland is literally a walking distance from my hotel room for this Jake Paul event.
I've been to Anaheim quite a few times. It's tight. It's tight. Not a whole lot to speak of. It's because it's inland. It's not near the coast. It's not what you think of when you think of going to LA,
California,
yeah. Perfect weather. It's not. It's gonna be hot there too, dude. You get inland, the air doesn't move much. You're not close to the water. It gets hot. It gets hot and stale.
Mm-hmm. Hot and stale. It was hot and steamy inside of Javits Center yesterday at the Fanatics Fest for Canelo Crawford. I want to start here on this episode because that is this fight is now taking over, man. It is now wasn't the busiest boxing weekend, so we had two press conferences for Canelo Crawford, Friday in Riyadh. Which there was some interesting things to come out of that. And then Sunday in New York City, where there was a little bit of a shove, we saw Max Kellerman, we saw Dana White, we got some more information on this card. It's now becoming very real. And
there's two guys I would never picture being brought together.
Dana White and Max Kellerman, right?
Yeah, I would never expect to see them on stage together, but interesting.
And Max was just saying glowing remarks about Dana White. He is the greatest combat sports promoter of all time.
I mean, come on, Bob.
Ever heard of Bob Arum?
What about Bob Arum, dude? He wrote the book. Wrote the book.
The guy promoted Muhammad Ali, Evel Knievel, Manny Pacquiao. And millions in between. Anyway. We'll get into that in a second. With Max Kellerman coming back, which I think is a net positive. I think it's a really good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very cool.
He's awesome. We'll get fully into that in a second. But the Friday press conference, we'll start there. It's in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Didn't expect much to come out of this. Like, you know, there wasn't a lot of fans, if any. Wasn't a lot of press there. It did look great. And it was the first time that – it was the first press conference for this. And what came out of that was more of the talk of no Tom and Jerry fights. Like, Tom and Jerry, like, once again.
That's become a thing, huh?
Yeah, these Tom and Jerry lawyers, or what is it, Warner Brothers? They're going to have to start – like, you guys are defaming our great enterprise here of Tom and Jerry, our franchise, by using it in a derogatory way. But Turkey was so adamant, like, no more Tom and Jerry fights. There's going to be performance bonuses, but he didn't really go into in depth there. And then the biggest thing to come out of it was a photo of Canelo and Crawford eating dinner together with Turkey. And I want to get your thoughts on it because you're the fighter here on this podcast. You have spent a lot of time with opponents. You know about the what goes on behind closed doors that some fans don't. What did you make of the photos of Crawford, Canelo eating together, breaking bread?
Not a good look. Don't like it. From a fighter perspective, from a fan perspective, I don't know. You don't want to get too comfortable being around your opponent. That happened to me with the Pacquiao buildup because they kept putting us together and like we were playing sports together and like at least that was competitive. So like we were trying to beat each other. But like, yeah, I didn't like being around him. I don't like being around my opponents before fights. I don't want to get comfortable in your space. And during the Pacquiao lead up, there was a lot of that. And I wasn't a positive for me. But in fights, you know, before and after that, no, I mean, every time I've ever been around my opponent, I used to get into arguments and shoving matches all the time at press conferences and weigh-ins. I mean, being in the super small New York State Athletic Commission offices up there and like getting into it with guys because you're going to fight somebody. Like you're about to train to destroy someone. Someone's trying to destroy you. And it's just hard not to have that competitiveness and nastiness rise out of you. I don't like the idea of, you know, being around each other and breaking bread and, you know, getting a nice photo op where it's like, oh, look, we're all happy and family making money together. Ugh, I don't want that. I want you at each other's throat. Can you put Sugar Ray Leonard and Marvin Hagler before they fought in the same area and they're not gonna argue or get into it or something? No.
Yeah, this happens. Like we've Spence and Crawford got on the phone together and talked for 40 minutes to hammer out their fight. And they're at, you know, talking about their families, their dads and all that. You guys are humans. It is a sport, but it's also unlike any other sport where you're inflicting pain on another person. You're punching them in the face. It's vile. It's all that. So it's a little different than like a basketball game or what you see in baseball. I'm a huge baseball fan and there's a big problem. I wouldn't say a problem, but like, something over the last like 15 years has changed in the sport where we're seeing more fraternization between the players. Like on the field beforehand, they're high-fiving, they're dapping each other up, they're giving each other hugs. And the reason is because a lot of the guys share the same agents. It's just not because they're getting paid so much. It's not like that dog-eat-dog mentality. Like I grew up with the Red Sox and the Yankees. 2003 was one of the greatest rivalries. 2004, Yankees-Red Sox. They legitimately hated each other. Roger Clemens, Jeter, hated Millar and all those guys on the Red Sox, and they would never be caught talking to them beforehand. And the fans love it too because they buy into it as well. It's like a kind of version, a little bit of WWE kayfabe, where you know, like all those guys get along backstage for the most part. But when you see them on camera, you want them to, you know, keep that rivalry going. And obviously, boxing is real; it's not WWE, but Turkey did say that this is part of our culture. Like, this is part of Saudi culture. We invite you into our home. We invite you into wherever we have dinner. We sit and we talk. Like, did it have to be a picture of it to come out? Like, that's the part where fans here in the U.S. and fans abroad would be like, you know, that doesn't really, like, I don't understand that. That's new to us as boxing fans. That's new because this is all new. This is a whole new character that entered the sport in Turkey. and Sella and all of them. And so we have to, there's going to be some changes. We've seen Dana White on the stage, for God's sake. So I will say, like, it is Saudi culture. But when you are coming off of last month or May's event, where the fights were bad, and now we've been talking for like a month straight about how can we make that never happen again with the bad fights. It wasn't the best optics, but it's not the first time like I fighters have ever like got together like that.
Yeah, I love the cultural aspect of it. That's great. Why do they have to have dinner together? Like, Canelo can have dinner with Turkey. Turkey can have dinner with Crawford. They don't have to be in the same room at the same time. I don't know. It again, especially like what you just said, like, we don't want Tom and Jerry fights, right? Well, part of why we're getting Tom and Jerry fights is guys are too comfortable around each other. They don't like, I want these guys to be at each other's throats. That's the way you want to feel. That's the way you want to be. I fought a few sparring partners, guys I was friends with. As soon as that deal came out that we were fighting, I'm not talking to you ever. I'm not talking to you anymore. You are now my enemy. We'll talk about it afterwards. I saw Eric Bone. I called one of his fights, his last fight, actually, a couple weeks ago. And we were sparring partners before we fought. And once that deal got hammered out, his manager called me. Hey, man, his trainer, sorry. He's like, we don't want to fight you, but it is what it is. I'm like, oh, listen, it is what it is. But, like, we're not talking no more. Don't contact me anymore. Like, we're fighting. So that's the mentality that I think fighters should keep if we want to get fights that are going to be fought highly, hotly contested, and not just, you know, playing patty cakes and making money together.
Yeah, I do believe that there's such professionals. You know, I went to the press conference on Sunday in New York, because I wanted to check it out, and I asked the question, and because they opened it up, they did it way different. They did it like UFC style, like opened it right up to media questions. And this was something I felt like was a big talking point, was them eating together. There was a Piers Morgan interview where, you know, they're talking about their kids and they're laughing together. It just looked very, very cordial and very friendly back to back. Like the Piers Morgan interview and then that photo. So I'm like, what's going on? Like, let me ask these guys that myself. Let's go right to the source. Let's ask Canelo and Crawford. I was lucky enough to have that opportunity. And they said exactly what I thought they would say, is like, we're professionals. Like Crawford said, I respect Canelo. But as we get closer and closer, it's going to be on. And when it's on, you know it's on. And you know how I'm going to handle my business. And Canelo pretty much said the same thing. But like, when you're paying them all the ton of money, and we're seeing some of like these fights that have not been great over the last couple of months. Like the ones before, this wasn't a problem until May 2nd. This was never an issue with the Riyadh fights until May 2nd. But they quickly changed all of that. They quickly erased all that with the shove. And like, there is more animosity. And I was trying to figure out, was that shove, you know, preconceived? Was it kind of like, or was it forced? But I was back and rewatched it. They were really like, I feel like there's a competitiveness. I feel like Canelo got awoken at the Sunday press conference and realized, you know what, some people are picking against me. You know, the odds have went from 5 to 2 to 1. You know, people are writing me off. Like, he is a very prideful guy, and there still is greatest Mexican fighter of all time hanging in the balance of this fight. I do think Canelo does care about that stuff.
Absolutely. And, you know, we spoke about this off air because we talk about boxing all the time. And I was like, listen, man, that getting in someone's personal space and lack of respect, Canelo's not really used to someone like that. And Crawford has no fear. He has no fear of Canelo. He's coming forward. He bodied him. He showed himself, listen, I'm big, I'm strong. And Canelo, to me, looked uncomfortable with how strong Crawford felt. And you were like, you had mentioned that it looked like it was contrived. And I've read some articles that said that too. Contrived or not, Canelo looked uncomfortable at a certain point, and that's why he pushed him. That's not a Canelo thing to do. He's more of a counter guy when it comes to those situations. Think of the Caleb Plant fight press conference. And I don't know, man. That alone, whether that was preconceived or not, I saw a little bit of uncertainty and real competitiveness, aggression between those two guys. And I think that's going to pump some new blood into this. Because now, all right, cool. You guys had dinner together. That shit's already in the past now. Like, you got in my space as a grown man. I'm not used to that. No one's got nothing for me in a long time. All right, we're in fight mode now.
I tell you what, like, Crawford did get visible. Like, he got moved. Like, Canelo didn't push him that hard. And a lot of, like, I see this all the time with these shoves, and like, they have like these body language experts all over Twitter. And I think it's great. Like, I'm never one
body language experts.
Right. I'm never one to criticize fans that want to get involved in fight negotiations, that want to get involved in getting excited over a fight or getting excited over like the business side of boxing or this type of stuff. because we're fans at the end of the day, and fan is short for fanatical. So if you want to get involved in this fight and be like, okay, what did you make of that presser? What did you see in his eyes? Like, that's fun to me. That's like mm-hmm. the beauty of sports, because it's silly. It is silly at the end of the day, because sports are silly. But like, he barely grazed him, Canelo. Like, it wasn't like
Caleb, it was a very half-assed push.
Right. And I don't know if Crawford thought it was off guard or didn't think it was coming or did think it was coming, or if they was preconceived. He was visibly moved back like 3-4 steps. And I don't want to play too much into this, but that plays right into the whole thing where it's just like Canelo's just bigger. He's just like, I was looking at his neck up close yesterday. Like, he's just a bigger human than Crawford. I don't care how many pounds Crawford puts on. I don't care how good he looks and all that. When it comes down to like the sheer physics of it, like the body composition and body mass, Canelo was a guy at 168, fought at 175. Like, I know we're grasping at straws here when it comes to the shove, but there's something in there.
No, so Canelo's body is deceiving, because and I remember this because I sparred him when he was 19 years old. I remember he was just over 147 in terms of where he was fighting at that point. I was fighting at 140, but he was 19. I remember like walking up to when we were to coming into the gym and seeing him from behind, and I'm like, I'm looking at his neck, and I was looking at his ankles, and I'm looking at his wrists when I shook his hand. I'm like, this is not a 19-year-old, Jesus. Like, he's like very, very thick bones, like thick elbows, thick wrists, thick neck, thick ankles. He's a very densely compact athlete. And yeah, he's not tall. He's shorter than me. He's a little bit, you guys took photos together. He's basically your height. He doesn't have
huge.
A long reach. Doesn't have a long reach. He doesn't have wide shoulders, but he's very compact. He's very, very densely muscled. So when it comes to that situation, like, Crawford got in his face, and Crawford, visibly, like, kind of frame-wise, like, oh, he looks like almost the same size. But no, like you said, trust me, they are two different sized people. So it is interesting. I wonder how much more of that we're going to get in terms of seeing how they physically match up in terms of, for these press conferences and them being around each other. Because, I don't know, it's something to talk about.
There's one more press conference in Las Vegas on Friday. I don't know what will come of that, because all these surprises. Turkey likes the surprises. He brought out Max Kellerman yesterday. We saw Dana White. That was a new wrinkle, the shove. I don't know what can come out of Friday's, which is in Las Vegas. We're going to see them face-to-face one more time, then we probably won't see them face-to-face until fight week. Or getting,
I think he's gonna. I think he's gonna resurrect Howard Cosell for this one, and that's gonna be the surprise.
Hologram.
I mean, a hologram of Howard Cosell.
What about a hologram Tupac performance? Concert.
I like it. Or Michael Jackson. Who knows?
All of them. Why not all?
All of them at once.
I saw Turkey taking pictures with LeBron. He was with Brady. Yeah. Like at Fanatics Fest. I mean, that place. Fanatics Fest is one of the cooler things. If you're a sports fan and you live in this area, or you want to fly in for it, and you have like young kids, it is like a dream if you're a sports fan. Like, you're rubbing elbows with like every athlete. They have the autograph stations. They have all these activations. They have a UFC ring, a cage that you can go in and like jump on top. They had basketball. They had literally everything you can possibly dream of. And I thought it was very cool, and I thought it was very smart. They did this last year too. The Tyson-Jake Paul press conference was at Fanatics Fest. And the crowd was live. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday, as I'm walking in, there's a massive, massive line to get into this. And people were literally running into the theater when they opened the doors. And I'm like, is this for the boxing? I was like, or is there like another event going on like the next stage over with like KSI or something where kids are going? No, they were there for the boxing. Like, the fans showed up. It was about 80% Canelo, which is the guy's just a brand. I mean, it's a lot to do with him being Mexican. He's just a freaking brand. Like, the place was going nuts for him. The crowd was very, very much into it. And I will say this. I wanted to show up yesterday for a number of reasons. I did not want to head over to the west side of Manhattan yesterday, 11th Avenue, in 100-degree weather yesterday. I did not want to do that.
I thought you took yourself out of it last time we spoke. You're like, I might go. I don't know. It's hot. It's on its west side of Manhattan. I'm like, he's not going to go. But
Dad talked me into it. He said, go check it out. You know what? Also, because I wanted to report for everyone watching this program right here, I wanted to give you guys a boots on the ground type of thing. I went for you at home to see to tell you what this was like. And I enjoyed it. I thought the fans were live. I thought they were very into it. They had that atmosphere of fans going crazy. They were heckling Turkey. They were heckling Canelo, calling fight Benavidez. They were just shouting crazy shit out. But another thing I like, too, is that this was a very much a UFC-run event. Like, they have their mitts all over this now. TKO Group, WWE, UFC, mm-hmm. now this event. It felt like a UFC press conference, and I think UFC does press conferences brilliantly. There's no
press
like
conferences and weigh-ins. They are awesome. Really awesome.
Right. There's no like, hey, now the president of the MGM Grand is going to come up here and say a few things. And now here's this trainer, this manager. And then you finally get to, by the time the fighters get on the stage, you're ready to fall asleep. Dana, it was a little long in the beginning, but they bring Dana up and he doesn't say a word. He just goes, all right, who's got the first question? Because let's open it right up to media. And they put the camera on you, and the media questions are those are the real questions. Those aren't the ones that are fed to the host. Those mm-hmm. are real questions from the like media members that should be asking good stuff. And I was very thought it was cool that I was able to ask a question there. So I think overall, like it was a little different than a boxing presser. It had a little more energy. I don't know if UFC fans agree the same way, because like I'm looking at it as a casual MMA fan. But I thought like the whole presser was like, from a production standpoint, was very, very like different and like a lot more like lively.
I'll tell you right now, I absolutely hate boxing press conferences, and I've obviously sat on so many of them. I mean, you've been to one, you've been to every single one of them. Toward the end of my career, I literally dreaded. I used to love it because it'd be like I get to talk to everyone. I know I knew who I was. I get to get on the dais. I'd wear my suit. I'd be all right. Yeah. By the end of my career, I was like, get this shit over with. This is stupid. I don't want to hear a promoter talk about how great he fucking is and how great this guy is and blah, 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 blah. And the fighters get up there and say nothing and go back, you know, back and forth and blah. I used to hate them. I would literally sit there the whole time on my phone waiting for that to be over. But I've also worked with a few UFC guys, and I've been to UFC events. I've been in the corners of fighters. Dennis Bermudez, a Long Island guy. Ryan LaFlair,
the Menace. Friend of mine.
You know, been behind the scenes on some UFC events. And those pressers and weigh-ins, man, they're different. The energy is there. They really do create the feeling of an event. And right. Boxing pressers not like that. Boxing pressers are like you're going to
stale.
It's a board meeting. It's stale. Literally a board meeting. And a UFC style presser is an event. And I'm glad that Dana White can bring that aspect of what he's done into this sport. Because listen, Max said he's the best combat sport promoter of all time. I don't know if I'm going to say that. I think he's the best marketer, you know, of combat sports. If he's not the best, he's right damn there, because he really is good at this. And you know, bringing that kind of energy, that's just an overall good for the sport.
So a big surprise at the presser was Max Kellerman getting wheeled
awesome.
Out.
That's
and,
awesome.
Wheeled I out. Heard was some
he,
rumblings.
Wait, is he? How old is he? What do you mean?
He's not young anymore. Like, he's not young anymore. Like, the funny thing is, like Max was always the young guy in media. I remember like watching him on Public Access here in New York. He's a New York legend. Watched him on Public Access. He had his own show when he was like a teenager. Yep. Then he got the Friday Night Fights gig really, really young in his like early 20s in the studio with Teddy, where he made his bones, and then he went on to, you know, host radio shows and obviously First Take with Stephen A. Smith, and that's why he's been gone for so long, is because he had a breakup with ESPN and he had an NDA and he could not do anything for like 4 years. Because I texted with him, I would say like a month or two ago, I was trying to get him on the show, and he's like, I will be back, and like you will hear about it, and he's like, and it will be big, and I was like, okay, so I kind of knew that he was gonna be coming back, and I heard some rumblings. Turkey tweeted out a picture of him and Jim that he would be involved with in this event somehow. So they bring out Max, and everyone's excited. I think that was the biggest thing to come out of yesterday's presser, because he brings a lot of historical context. Mm-hmm. Like right away, he got on that stage and was like comparing it to all these fights of the past. And also another thing he does, he was checking these fighters. Like, he's not afraid to say something crazy. He's not afraid to ask. He went right to Crawford and was like, Madrimov, what's your toughest fight? And Crawford was like, no, it wasn't. And Max was like, shit, it was. Like, you're on a KO streak, and Madrimov give you issues. And, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of times we see these media guys that just kind of just succumb to the fighters, and they don't press them at all. So, all in all, great to have Max back.
Yeah, no, Max is. I watched that whole rise as he came up, like coming up along with Teddy through ESPN. That was when I was like really, really most dialed in and a fan growing up, you know, watching ESPN Friday Night Fights. And I think it's awesome that he's back. And this is another one of those very interesting, cool caveat things that Turkey's been able to do, reviving Jim Lampley, reviving Max Kellerman, bringing them back, working fights together. Very, very cool. lot of nostalgia there. And listen, Max is very good at this. He's very, very good at this. He's knowledgeable. He is a true fan. He is a fan, a fanatic of boxing. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, the guy, he's an encyclopedia. He loves the sport. It's obvious, you know. So, I don't know. I think it's that's another really good thing that Turkey's brought back, or brought to this sport. And another reason this event is getting, it's getting what it deserves. I mean, it's a big fight. It's not the fight we all wanted, but like, guess what? We got it, and we're gonna enjoy it. We're gonna watch it, and we're gonna get excited about it.
Yeah, these are very necessary. Every once in a while,
addition,
in this sport.
Yeah.
Gotta have these mega mainstream, and this is like.
But at least they're fighters, dude. It's not like Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, where it's like, you know, Mike is not really a fighter anymore. These two are, you know, yeah, they're not in their absolute peak prime ages, but you know, they're both active fighters. It's not Floyd Mayweather versus McGregor. McGregor's not, you know, wasn't a boxer. So these are two fighters at least. Yeah, they're two weight classes apart. Yeah, Crawford's 37. Yeah, you know, Canelo hasn't looked great recently. It doesn't matter. We still have two guys who are active boxers, very high level, who are, you know, going to be legends either way in the future.
It's not on the level of Pacquiao Mayweather, of course, in terms of eyeballs, in terms of what that meant for the sport, in terms of how the whole world stopped that night.
But also in terms of like a matchup that we did, that people were drooling over. No one was drooling over this matchup 2 years ago.
No, you had both fighters. You had one guy in Canelo who was poo-pooing it. Literally, I asked him up on stage, and he said, no, I don't want that. He's too small. I won't get any credit for it. Money changes. But this is going to be one of the
most that was a year ago. 2 years ago, no one even thought about this. Like, it wasn't even on anyone's radar.
No, it was Spence. Remember? It was Spence. Yeah, something came up. A memory came up on, like, something on the phone, and it was around this time. We did an emergency podcast because Canelo Alvarez signed a 3-fight deal with PBC.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yep. And remember, we were going through all of the scenarios. All right, he's going to fight this guy, this guy, this guy. We did not think he was going to fight Charlo for the first fight, with Jermell Charlo. He fights Jermell Charlo, and then we're like, all right, one of these is going to be Errol Spence. And that was, like, the talking point, because a lot of people were picking Spence to beat Crawford, or at least thought that Spence would come out of that. And Spence was a bigger guy. You know, even though they're both fighting at welterweight, rat bigger than Crawford, and it was going to be Spence Crawford. So Crawford wins that fight, and then he's the one who starts coming up with this Canelo idea. And now here we are. But in terms of, like, it's not up there with Pacquiao Mayweather in terms of, like, what that fight meant. But this is the biggest fight since Pacquiao Mayweather. And the fact that it's on Netflix, and the fact that they are now going to be adding Max to it, there's a very good chance that Jim Lampley is calling the fight, and it's Jim and Max. And if they get Roy Jones... And if they get Roy Jones, we're going to see something that I thought we'd never see again. And that's Jim, Max, and Roy. And nostalgia is a hell of a drug. I just got chills because we all grew up watching HBO. We didn't think it was possible, especially in the media world. It's so hard to recreate these things. But there's a chance that we get Jim Lampley, Max Kellerman, Roy Jones, or at least Jim and Max together on the broadcast. Jeez. I think that's freaking awesome.
Dan, you just let the cat out of the bag for what the surprise is going to be in Vegas, dude. It's going to be Roy. Of course it is. It's going to be. How do you not do it? It's so teed up for that. That would be a major fail and miss if they don't bring the gang back together again. You know, get Roy, get Max, get Jim. Ah, man, dude, I'm getting that's got to happen. That's got to be the surprise for Vegas.
Well, Turkey posted the picture of Max and Jim. He would have just posted Max, like if Jim wasn't going to come.
Right,
back.
So right. No, two of the three. He likes to put out little nuggets, little Easter eggs. You know, that's a nice Easter egg.
So another thing that came from this was there's going to be a KO bonus, which I found interesting, because we talked about performance bonuses 2 weeks ago. And it got pretty good response from everybody. It was like a, you know, kind of a mixed response, but mostly good. Like, yeah, well, let's incentivize these guys rather than penalize them. Just one of your ideas. But I don't think we talked about a KO bonus. A KO bonus. And I didn't think it was going to be applied to the main event of Canelo and Crawford. I don't think they needed a bonus. I think it would be better for like lower fights.
They're making enough money.
But yeah, Dana White went up on the stage like, oh, it's going to be six figures. And we're working it out still. Do you like the KO bonus is going to be here? I think that's going to be part of Riyadh season fights moving forward. Is this going to work? Is like what do you like? Is this a thing that we're going to see now in boxing more?
I preferred the performance bonus the way that the UFC does it, where it's like kind of like fight of the night, or someone who just like overperforms or really puts on like a fantastic show, than an actual KO bonus. I don't necessarily love it, but I don't hate it. It's better than penalizing. And I got the same kind of feedback from people who are DMing me about it. They're like, I don't like this. Or some guys are like, oh, this is great. You know, it's back and forth. Some people think it's going to make guys change their style. They're going to fight it a different way. It might actually hurt them in the long run. But listen, that's on the fighter. It's a bonus. You don't have to get it. But yeah, going for the KO if it's there. I think these guys, especially the top level guys, they're going to do that anyway. I don't think this is really going to motivate a guy like Canelo or Crawford, who are already making boatloads of money, to go out of pocket, to go reach for some extra change. I don't care if six figures or not. These guys are going to be making, what are we talking here? $20, $30 million? Canelo makes $30 million a fight. He's probably making
way more than that. That's the most expensive fight contract ever and most expensive belt. The $188,000 ring belt.
All right. So, Dan, say you're making $40 million. Six figures. You may get an extra $100,000 for going for a KO. Do you really care at that point?
That was my only pushback on your idea, was that the whole point is like they're getting part of the reason why we're seeing some of these fights turn into sparring matches because they're getting paid too much money, or there's future huge paydays. Like mm-hmm. Haney versus Ramirez. I'm sure Haney didn't get paid crazy amount, but it was definitely more than he usually gets. But he also knew that he was set to make a crazy amount to fight Ryan Garcia. So money is a factor in why we saw some of these fights happen that way. It's not the only factor. We've been through this a million times. I'm not going to get fully into it. There's a lot of factors that went into what we saw May 2nd, May 3rd. But that's the only pushback I had on your thing, was that I think money's part of the issue. And a couple, 100,000, 200,000, even if it's like 250,000, I think it's more of like a symbolism. I think that would be a cool graphic they'll throw on Instagram. You know, it's them trying to right a wrong. I think it will work really good when they do the boxing league, and that's more of like the UFC model.
Well, the guys are getting paid a lot less,
right? And these, like, we see it when MVP does it too for their fight nights, and they give out 5-10,000 to these prospects, and that's huge. That's like massive for them. And I see them afterwards at the after parties, and they're so excited to get that bonus. So I don't know how that's all going to work, but I'll tell you what, it was a major, major talking point Friday and Sunday. Even Canelo said, smaller ring. We need a smaller ring. Cause like, is he insinuating that Crawford is like a runner? Cause I've never once thought of Terrence Crawford as a runner.
No, but the smaller the ring, you're forcing more contact. And you're forcing more contact means more activity as well. And less movement, less ability to escape. And of course, obviously, Canelo's a bigger guy. He wants to use that size. We saw that at the presser when they were on stage together. I don't think it has to do so much with him running as much as it's like you're just going to force more contact.
Well, I will say this. This past weekend, I'm about to say it, and here I am saying it. Vito Milnecki in Newark, this card that was streamed on ESPN Plus, was not a top-ranked vehicle. I just wanted to put that out there. It was a Vito Milnecki main event, and they had a very small ring. Like, yeah. I'm talking, this thing looked 18 by 18 might be generous. It was one of the smaller rings I've ever... It looked like the ring they set up at the MGM Grand Lobby.
It did. The angles didn't help either. The camera angles that they were utilizing for the TV event were not making it look any bigger. But listen, I fought Ruslan in a small ring. It was not much bigger than that ring, honestly. So it was barely legal, the ring that I fought him in. You can box in a small ring. Yes, like I said, it adds more contact, but doesn't mean you have to get hit. Doesn't mean you can't fight at range. Doesn't mean you can't use your boxing IQ. You cut angles. You have to learn how to fight in a small ring. You got to know how to fight in a small ring. I sparred my entire career in a very, very small ring for that reason. But I was a boxer. You can learn how to box and box well in a small ring, but your conditioning has to be on point because there is more contact. You got to be sharp. You got to be, there's not that breakaway space where it's like, okay, I got some time. I can chill. I got a couple beats to rest before this guy comes in contact with me again. It's literally like, okay, cut an angle. Boom. Now I'm here again. Boom, boom, boom. Okay. I cut an angle. So you get one beat instead of two or three. And that makes a big difference in the cadence and pace of a fight. So that's the difference between a big ring and a small ring. I'm all for small rings. Like I said, I cut my teeth in small rings. I was a good boxer and I still was able to do well in small rings. And listen, contact is what we're here for.
So I 100% agree. I mean, it's a skill, it's an art, and it's a different skill set that you have to bring into that ring. So this Vito Mlynecki card in Newark had a very small ring. I would say 18 by 18, if that. And there were 10 fights on the card. Six of them went the distance. Mm-hmm. So it's not a surefire thing. Smaller ring does not equal a lot more contact. Smaller ring doesn't necessarily mean knockouts. I mean, this is a very small sample size, but I did want to, once I saw that small ring, I was, all right, let's see with these 10 fights. Let's see if there's more action. Let's see what comes out of this. It's a little bit of an experiment because this is the hottest topic in boxing these days. And how can we get rid of running? How can we get rid of inactivity? So I don't know if a smaller ring is necessarily the answer because I think it comes down to the fighters. It comes down to their skill sets because we saw six of these fights go the distance.
So one of the fights that was actually really good on that card was Jahi Tucker versus Lorenzo Truck Simpson. Really, really good fight. High contact fight. And Jahi is one of those guys, man. He's really pesky. He stays in your face. He's a high contact guy. You put him in that small ring, he was literally, it was like a fish in water. He was loving it. And it made for a really good fight. And it was one of those matchups I think on paper was 50-50. Like Truck is a guy who's had a lot of hype over a bunch of years. He's caught a couple losses, underperformed often. And Jahi Tucker is kind of the opposite. He's a guy who's kind of overperformed and is starting to more and more as he's growing. But that made for a really entertaining fight, which forced Truck to fight more than he was comfortable with. And Jahi Tucker ran away with it.
Yeah, I just don't know. I just don't know what the answer is, but I thought that was interesting. A little experiment to see if the smaller ring necessarily equals more contact. I think it can't hurt. I think we are going to. I can't wait to see how this all works out for Canelo Crawford and what ring size they use. I'm sure they'll just go with the standard. I think that fight's too big. And, I heard, did you see Edgar Berlanga tweeted out what happened to the 18 by 18 rings? Because I've heard through the grapevine that they are not using 18 by 18 rings for the July 12th card.
Yeah, I think you had saw something on Twitter about that, and then it kind of got like shot back that was not going to be the case. That's really going to come down to I think the main event fighters, yeah, and what's on paper. That's how it always goes. The guys, for people at home who don't know, that's something that is contracted usually by the main event. Because I remember when I fought Ruslan Provodnikov, I didn't even know about ring sizes being in contracts, and my lawyer at the time kind of overlooked that and didn't think that was a big thing to bring into play, which it obviously was. And then, the Pacquiao fight, that was something that was negotiated up upon, and all of my fights after that, that was a stipulation in the contract that, we went over. So at the end of the day, I don't think Turkey can, the promoter of the card can tell a guy like Crawford or Canelo, the ring is this size, deal with it, because it's going to come down to the legal paperwork anyway.
Yeah, because I think that's the pecking order. It's like Turkey or the promoter will put something in.
Yeah, Turkey or any promoter, yeah.
Right, any promoter. Then your manager or your lawyer, who should be looking out for you, kind of pushes back, fights for different clauses. Because I'm looking at, Edgar Berlanga tweeted on Thursday, what happened to the ring being 18 by 18 at Turkey? So I think there was an announcement that the rings were going to be smaller for July 12th. I think they put that the original ring was set standard, and then they tried to switch it, and then a couple of the lawyers stepped in and were like, "Hey, that's not going to happen."
Yeah. So no, we gotta. Yeah. I mean, I used to be mad. I used to be like, "Oh, there should be a standard ring size for a championship level fight," which there probably should be if we're gonna treat this like a real sport, but. We know that boxing is the wild, wild west, and it's going to come down to, it's a negotiating point. It's something that, like, think about, again, I'm going to bring up Leonard and Hagler. There were so many stipulations in that fight. What size gloves are you going to use? What size ring are you going to have? Who's going to walk first? These are all things that are negotiated that go back and forth, and you guys literally can get victories before the fight even starts. The weigh-in, the rehydration clauses, all these things. What time is the weigh-in? These are all things mm-hmm. that can be negotiated by the main event fighters that their legal teams are going to take a place far in advance.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mayweather-Pacquiao was when everyone really became aware of how crazy boxing negotiations are. It was the biggest fight in years. Like Twitter, it was just was popular. People were on Twitter. We're getting more information every day. Remember, Lance Pugmire was like on top of everything. He was reporting when they met up at that Heat game, and then as we got closer and closer to the negotiations, it was like, who's the ace? Who's going to walk out first? Who's going to have the name first on the poster? That's huge, and that's a big part of the sport is all of that. So the ring size thing is going to be an issue. It's or if they're going to try to make that change. I think there's going to be some pushback from lawyers, some pushback for teams. It does favor certain fighters. Like it favors Canelo. Like I think it favors Berlanga in his fight with Shiraz. Like I think Shiraz is going to come out and box. It does favor smaller ring favors Zepeda in the Shakur fight. So yeah, I don't know. There should be standard, but that will never happen because boxing is a state by state sport. It's the Wild West. It's absolutely batshit crazy. So,
and that's why we love it, because you never know. It is the theater of the unexpected.
Well, it is. But what we're seeing with the UFC now involved in boxing, with Dana White being, it's kind of crazy to see Dana White up on the stage. Like we all knew it was coming.
It's confusing. It's like oh, is this a UFC event? Like no, we got boxers up there. We got Canelo Alvarez and Terrence Crawford on a dais with Dana White. You're expecting
like Michael Buffer, Dana White, Max Kellerman, Canelo fighting Crawford. It was like kind of dystopian.
Confusing. Yeah, it's very confusing. It's a weird dream. What's going on?
And there was a lot of UFC media there. Like the UFC made this available for a lot of UFC media. But it was crazy to see Dana White up there. And we're talking about how the beauty of boxing is like it's the Wild West. It's open market. A fighter can get what they want out there, earn what they want, all that. But I think what TKO Group wants to do is they want to make it way more uniform. Like, look at the UFC. Like, I know this isn't the best example, but, you know, they all have to wear the same fight kit, you know, the same trunks.
That was a big deal. I remember that when the sponsorships got dropped and everyone had to wear the same kit and you couldn't get your own sponsors. That fighters lost a lot of income because of that. That was a big pushback from that.
I know it's a small part, but it's part of a bigger thing where UFC, the brand is bigger than the fighters. The brand is bigger than the sport. And, you know, I think if they're going to try to do the same exact thing with boxing, I don't know how successful they'll be. But it was interesting seeing Dana White up there. Like, finally, like the guy has been flirting with boxing for years. And now he's up on that stage, part of the biggest fight in the last, like, 5-10 years. I think Canelo Crawford, in terms of name recognition. So that's going to be a very interesting part of this whole thing. Did you see over on the weekend? There wasn't a lot of big fights this weekend, but there was an upset. Francisco Rodriguez, Mexican fighter, goes over to the UK and does what's been going on for the last like 5 years, where a Mexican fighter upsets the UK fighter. This time it was Galat Yafai, who was the favorite in this fight. The winner was going to go on to fight Kenshiro Taraji for the WBC flyweight title. Yafai was the favorite in this fight, and Rodriguez straight up took it from him. An epic beatdown. Landed 575 punches. That is the most punches ever landed by a flyweight in 40 plus years of CompuBox. Hearn, another guy, another of one of his fighters going down to a Mexican. Rodriguez is promoted by Eddie Reynoso, or trained by Eddie Reynoso. So that was a huge upset this weekend.
Eddie, stop bringing Mexicans over there.
Eddie Hearn, correct?
Yeah, Eddie Hearn, stop bringing these Mexican guys to fight your champions, man. It's not working out. Dude, 500 plus landed punches is bananas.
The 500 club, bro. The 300 bananas. Club. The 200 club. Like I'm going down. Like boxing has changed tremendously in terms of output. Like I remember 250. That's a lot these days. 300, you're getting it's special treatment. 400, you're getting yourself into rarefied air. Or he's pushing close to 600. That's insanity. I know it's smaller weight. They throw the
they don't hit as hard. But still, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, CompuBox put out a tweet. Most punches landed in a fight any weight class. 637. Cecilio Espino. It's Dorsey, Troy Dorsey landed 620. Zach Padilla, 615. Chocolatito landed 594.
Oof.
Kevin Kelly over Troy Dorsey, 588. And then you have Rodriguez. He's in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Top eight ever we saw this weekend.
And Dan, of those eight that you just mentioned, what was the highest weight class?
Yeah, there's eight, maybe
it's all, little guys. It's all small guys. Was it even 130? It's probably 122. You know, like this is you don't see that in the higher weights. The higher the weight, the less punches get thrown. So yeah, of course we're gonna see this in a super fly fight, but or a flyweight fight, but hell. I mean, that's rarefied air for sure. And listen, I like Jafai a lot, man. I thought he was really good. Obviously, he had that win over Sonny Edwards, where Sonny had a bit of a existential crisis in the ring. Yeah, existential crisis in the ring, and really just said he didn't want to fight anymore. But also, he's just good, man. I've always liked Jafai, and he got trounced. I mean, scores were super wide. He got dropped in the last round. Just wasn't ready. I mean, he lost to a guy with six losses. And that's another thing about these smaller weights. These guys get thrown to the wolves so early. They catch losses. You can't run. You can't hide from the best guys in the division. You have to fight everybody. He fought Ayoko. He fought Nakatani. Like this guy has been around. Yeah, he went 10 with Juto Nakatani. And Nakatani's a KO specialist. So this dude is hard as a coffin nail. And he took the flight went over there and beat Jafai's butt, man.
Yeah, 48, almost 50 pro fights.
Yeah, Mexican. And he's like 32 years old. Yeah, he's 32. Like 32. And he's 32 to get 47 pro fights.
He looks like he's 50. I'm looking at his box real quick. He's just tough, bro. Like, just tough. Like, Hearn knew, like, this was going to be tough. This was going to be a tough one. And this is how it should be. Like, Jafai, yeah. You want that title shot? You want to face Taraji in Japan for the WBC flyweight title? You got to get through this guy. You got to get through this punching machine who has been in the ring with a lot of really good fighters.
Oh, shit. He fought Chocolatito, too. He fought Chocolatito 12 years ago. That's crazy. The only guy I ever stopped him was Chocolatito.
Fresh-faced 20-year-old.
Yeah. 35 and old Roman Gonzalez. Jesus.
So now Rodriguez now gets the shot, and he's going to go over to Japan, get life-changing money, fight Kenshiro Taraji. It's going to be an awesome fight. You just know it. Like, there's no doubt about it. Yeah. Like Taraji versus Rodriguez. Now I'm interested in it because that's a huge. Because the guy landed almost 600 punches, so yeah, that was the bigger fight of the weekend. We had that card in Newark with the small ring that we touched on. So heading out to California this weekend, Jake Paul versus Chavez Jr. I have a funny feeling that I think Chavez is going to push Jake Paul, push him to the limit. I want to see like a fun fight. I want to see like a rock 'em sock 'em. Jake and Chavez.
I think I agree with you. I do think that Chavez is going to push him a little bit, but I also he's got the quit in him. And he's got his with the only a problem. Good shot, and he could just at any point. I cannot get out of my head the Danny Jacobs fight where he has a good first round, has landing jabs, and then just gets hit with one right hand on the nose and comes back to the corner and goes, oh, my nose is broken. What do you mean? It's a boxing match. So what? His father was like beside himself. Like, what do you mean you get a broken nose? It's a boxing match. And so that's always there. So I don't care, you know, how well he's doing in the fight. He can bail himself out at any moment because he doesn't care. Once you quit, that's in you now. You never get that out of you.
Wasn't that also the same fight where he was running out of the ring, running up the entrance with Mickey Rourke? Mickey was like kind of. Mickey Rourke had the ring card, the ring girls hold, and used that as a shield.
Although, because they were throwing, everyone was throwing bottles and and they were throwing Coke bottles and cans and cups and that was a wild scene.
So that came out of that. Then you have. Yeah. Him quitting in other fights. And that's the only thing is Chavez is a wild card. And that's going to be a big talking point this week when I head out there. It's going to be like, you know, he beats Jake Paul. That's a big deal. Jake Paul loses on Saturday night. That's a huge story. That's like a big sports story. And Chavez could be the guy to do that. And he could right some of the wrongs of his career. And then who knows who he fights after that. He can go the misfit route and fight some of these names out there. And I know he's calling for some of the best cruiserweights. I don't see that happening. He's 39 years old, but I just want to see a fun fight. It's the main event. The undercard is really good. We got Zerto Ramirez versus Dorticos.
Dort the Grinch was a badass. He was a badass back in the day.
Still is. Still could punch.
Yeah.
He can still punch. And Zerto, sure. I think, is the best cruiserweight. It's debatable. It's between him and Opetaia. And I hope Opetaia comes to California. I hope he gets into the ring afterwards. I hope if Zerto wins, I hope they that's the next one. There was a lot of talk of Jake fighting one of these winners. I don't see that exactly happening just next. But this is a really, really good co-main. Zerto, Dorticos. It's going to be a freaking barn burner.
Yeah, I like this fight a lot. I really like Ramirez. I like, he's a very fun fighter. He throws a ton of punches. I think he's very smart. He's a great body puncher. He's much better at cruiserweight than he was at light heavyweight, and obviously, and even at 168. I think he's a better puncher. I think he's more durable somehow. His conditioning is off the charts. He throws so many punches. He's super active. He's got a good jab. He's an awesome body puncher. He's big. He's long. He's a southpaw. But like you said, Dorticos can punch, dude. He can really punch. And listen, Ramirez gets hit, and this is his third weight class. These are big boys. So we're going to really test that chin of Ramirez in this fight, because Dorticos, yeah, he's a little bit older. Yeah, he's a little bit past where he was at his absolute best, but that punch doesn't go away. And I think a lot of questions are going to be answered in this fight.
Another fight that I'm really looking forward to is Floyd Schofield versus Tevin Farmer. This is a good piece of matchmaking. Schofield, we just don't know. Good timing. We don't know what the heck Schofield is. He was supposed to fight Shakur Stevenson, had that pullout. He's had some impressive wins. He's very athletic. And you have Farmer coming off of the 22 rounds with Zepeda. Gives Zepeda a ton of issues. Dropped him. Lost the rematch. Like, this is a real test for Schofield. We're going to really see what Floyd Schofield's about. And Tevin Farmer, you know, is a grizzled vet. I like this fight.
It's a timing fight. Is Tevin Farmer degraded and old enough that Schofield is mature enough to get through him? Because if that works out in any other way, if Tevin still has it and Schofield isn't mature enough yet, Tevin's going to win. But if Schofield is the goods and he's ripened to the right maturity, and maybe he's catching Tevin, you know, who's a little long in the tooth, has a lot of fights under his belt, then Schofield moves on. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting fight. This is that classic crossroads type matchup where you got the older former champion versus the younger upstart, and the timing really matters in these fights.
Yeah, so be a fun evening of fights heading out there on Wednesday. Also, Christian Mabili fights this weekend.
Billy, always fun. Always a fun.
Fighting Sulecki, who's a little sharp.
He's been on a pretty good run lately, Sulecki. Who did he just stop? Sulecki just, he just stopped someone like...
I mean, he's been in there with literally everyone.
Everybody. He fought Danny Jacobs. He fought Gabe Rosado in a fight of the year, both knocking each other back and forth down. Sulecki's good. Let's see.
He beat Ali Akhmedov.
Akhmedov. Oh, he stopped him. Didn't he?
Yeah. 10th round stoppage.
That's a very good win. Akhmedov is a very solid fighter. That's a really good win to get him back into, you know, where he wants to be or where he can still be, because he's another one who's long in the tooth.
And the reason you're going to want to tune in for this or keep an eye on this is that Mabili has been floated for the Canelo Crawford undercard. And he could also be fighting Canelo one day. So he's also just a really fun fighter, too. Christian Billy. Guy throws a ton of punches.
Super nice guy, too. Really, really likable.
Canadian, right? Of course he's nice.
Canadian. Yeah, good point. Good point. Him and his
from Montreal.
Team, really nice guys. Really insightful. His, you know, things he has to say in the fighter meetings. And dude just trains so hard, from what I understand, talking to his coaches, which you can see. I mean, his incredible shape always. His gas tank is endless. He throws power punches the whole time. Really fun fighter. I enjoy him in Billy fight.
That is the fight to weekend. I'll be heading out to California. We're going to do an episode later in the week. Hope you enjoy it. Any last final words, Chris, in this beautiful boxing world that we are in?
Yeah. You know what? Subscribe, tell some people, because you always forget to say that. I don't have to say it. I don't tell anybody to do anything. So I'm going to do that every show. I'm going to tell you guys, listen, subscribe, comment. I know, whatever. We have some loyal listeners who go all the way to the end, and tell somebody else. That seems probably the most important thing. Go tell other people.
Guerrilla marketing. Go out there and spread the word the old-fashioned way.
I'm gonna start bullying you guys. Just go tell people. Go like and subscribe.
Tell a friend. Protect your hands. Protect yourself at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We'll see you next week.